to me, your community is not actually where your house is and the surrounding. Your community is the people you associate with. And that can be your ethnicity, that could be your politics, that could be your religion. And I feel sorry for people who are so isolated that where they live defines who their community is.
Welcome into Priced Out, the podcast. This is our third part on Long Beach, which is a city that's very similar, but also kind of the opposite of Portland. Both cities had historically no control over rents. There was no restriction on how much a landlord could raise rents, and you could evict tenants without cause in these cities. The major difference between the two was that Portland is the whitest city in America, and Long Beach has historically been the most diverse city in the country. So we've covered Long Beach in a series of podcasts before, including the failed fight for rent control in that city, and also the harrowing story of Cynthia Marcia and her fight with a racist landlord. So once again, we return to Long Beach and the battle for affordable housing.
My name is Brian Addison. I'm a columnist and editor at the Long Beach Post.
Can you describe the city for those people who have never really understood what Long Beach is and where it is?
It's about 22 miles southwest of LA proper. Super diverse. We have the largest Cambodian population outside of Cambodia itself. We have a wonderfully rich Black community. With the influx of immigrants lately, Latinos now comprise the majority of our population. And the white folks are off on the more suburban east side. So, you know, at the end of World War II, we have this influx of Navy men coming in, which also brought for the first time an influx of Black families with money. You know, like World War II was an economic boon, as war often is, but at that time it was a boon for some of our most marginalized populations. And Black servicemen and women actually returned home from war with money to purchase something and invest in something. And Long Beach actually became this kind of a stalwart for fair housing. The Long Beach Fair Housing Coalition was largely comprised of Black women who were frustrated that after the war, real estate agents were horribly discriminating them and pushing them into undesirable parts of the city. The white population, white flight, it was common. Once the freeways started getting built, they started pushing more and more east towards the suburban side. I think after being so long disinvested, politicians were yearning for anything that they could attract. And this is part of Long Beach's history.
My name is Adriana Langston, and I live in downtown Long Beach. And I have owned a condo in downtown Long Beach since 2001. Over the last couple of years, I can say that downtown Long Beach has changed with incredible development. Mayor Garcia made a promise about 2 years ago that he was going to bring 10,000 new residents. And I would be shocked if he doesn't announce at the State of the City on the 15th that he has brought more than that, because there, everywhere there was a vacant lot, there is a multi-unit dwelling being built or one is planned. He really, really super made good on that.
So then in 2012, there's the downtown plan, the latest scheme for revitalization. What was in the plan?
It incentivized builders to come in. It upzoned everything. There's a twofold of the story with the downtown plan. So Governor Brown dissolves the redevelopment agency because of the economic crisis. So Long Beach loses, over the course of the years up until its formal dissolvement, tens of millions of dollars that were intended for city-owned properties. So then what the state does is the state says you have to get rid of these properties. So it wasn't only the dissolution of redevelopment, the redevelopment agency. Every city was legally required by the state to pawn off their lands to private entities. So it was called the Long Range Property Management Program, which was just a very loquacious way of saying that the city invited a whole bunch of private investors to look at properties that were previously not for sale except for public entities. They sold every single one within about a month. And yeah, now the city's only owned property are the existing properties they have in parks.
Were a lot of those properties downtown?
Almost entirely. There's been more development in the past, now it's 7 years, right, since the plan. So in the past 7 years and the past 30 years previous to the plan.
So we have to breathe that in a little bit. The city basically lost its development agency, which is the function of government that can plan and build subsidized housing units. And the city lost all the land that it had set aside for building affordable housing. And to boot, the downtown plan upzones for development without any provisions that would have incentivized or required developers to put in below market units. So this is a Godzilla-sized fire sale that happens in Long Beach, where the city is just selling off its properties and at the same time sort of taking off the restrictions on development. And it's not unlike the fire sale of skyscrapers that we saw and talked about in the Detroit podcast. And as with Detroit's case, developers do come, and they come with huge amounts of money.
My name is Jorge Rivera. I'm the program director for LIBRE. It's an acronym that stands for Long Beach Residents Empowered. We're a community organizing group. We're here to fight for more housing justice and with a focus on tenant protections and a more affordable housing creation and preservation. I think prior to the downtown plan, which was passed in 2012, I think people referred to Long Beach as the Tale of Two Cities because you can literally split it right in the middle of the map. And since the downtown plan, on the other side of those two cities, which was the lower income side, we have downtown Long Beach. And the downtown Long Beach plan has basically spurred all of this development and investment, which is now sort of, as you mentioned, pinching the lower income folks that are caught in the middle of these things. There's nowhere to go north because we have Virginia Country Club there, and the east side has always been off limits because it's a more affluent side. So people are getting squeezed out. It's this sort of like the image that just popped into my mind was like just squeezing a little bottle of toothpaste and it just sort of like spilling outward, and that's what's happening to folks. They're just spilling out of Long Beach and into other surrounding areas. There's total mass evictions. I think when we talk about displacement, I think it's important to talk about, we categorize them in two different ways. There's direct displacement and indirect displacement. Direct displacement would be like when a property building gets bought out and everybody gets a 60-day notice. An indirect displacement would be when the person is rent as are, they're gone up to the point where they can't afford it, or the surrounding community has become unaffordable for them. And so we've seen a lot of both here.
Are people buying those houses and flipping them, like, you know, buying them, fixing them, and then selling to wealthier people?
That actually is happening here in downtown Long Beach, where we have a lot of multi-dwelling units that used to be, like back in the day when the Bixby's formed Long Beach, used to be single family homes. Those are being bought, but what it is more is quadplexes and sextetplexes, 6-unit and 4 units, that are being purchased. Everybody's being evicted. They remodel them, and then they rent them, put them up as condos, converted condos, or they rent them at 3 times the rate.
Here in Long Beach, because we don't have any tenant protections of any sort, the landlord is not required to give any reason as to why they're being evicted.
And there are no restrictions on how much you can hike rent.
Oh no, because we don't have anything close to rent control or rent stabilization. We see landlords hiking rents up to $800 in one pop, and they can hike rents as many times as they want. So even if we had, say for example, an eviction protection ordinance like Just Cause, then they can just displace people by hiking rents to the point where they're unaffordable.
Josh Butler, Executive Director of Housing Long Beach. We're building too much housing at the high end of the market that's not affordable to Long Beach residents. We're clearly building housing in an effort to attract people who can pay more and put more into that sales tax, because the city knows that they're limited as to how much they'll be able to recoup from property taxes. So you go to the sales tax. Long Beach is maxed out on sales tax.
2018 was just wild in restaurant closures. I was riding one a week almost. Like, you know, and these weren't just run-of-the-mill places, you know. Russo's in the Shore, well, Naples, 30 years. Acapulco Inn was over 50 years. Like, these are like staples. And, but the interesting thing with the restaurants, it all varied. Like, Spot Cafe, Acapulco, rent hikes, and they were in the Shore. So, you know, so I started looking in, and almost every single restaurant closing in the Shore is due to an exorbitant rent hike. But mostly in the areas owned by larger corporations, property managers and investors who's like, they don't live here.
And as people who know this podcast, know this issue, and have seen Priced Out, the feature documentary, you know it's complicated.
What that means for our current businesses and our current residents right now, it's meant some good and a lot of bad. Some good in that a new restaurant will open, some bad in that a few more close. So I think Long Beach residents have to decide, what do we want? Do we want our old mom and pops that have been there for years, that have been part of our community, that have contributed, or do we want the new guys?
I want to provide this, you know, nuance, because there's really great property owners in Long Beach, the ones who actually live here and invested here. You know, like Lisa Ramelow, like she owned the building that a place, Babette's Feast, a bakery, had closed, and she talked to him, and he couldn't keep up with the minimum wage hike. Fair enough. She tried to do her best. What can I do? Do you need me to lower the rent? And he was like, no, I think I just need to close up shop. I think I'm done. So she was like, okay, well, like, you know, do you want me to wait until someone's ready to move in? So that, and he was like, that would be great. So they actually waited with each other. Mm-hmm. He kept it open until they had a new person that was able to move in. So I think there's stories that are also being ignored about the all-greedy, all-powerful property owner actually trying to help their community, you know? But that, again, I do want to distinguish between Lisa, a property owner who lives in and is invested in Long Beach, versus corporate property owners who own vast stretches of Belmont Shore, coming in and increasing the Spot Cafe's rent from $8,000 a month to $15,000.
This is Adriana Hughes again, and we should note she's African-American.
And I'm going to get a lot of ugliness about this, but this is my truth. It's not the truth, it's my truth. If I had a choice between neighbors who had a master's degree or a BA and therefore could afford the 3 times higher rent, and neighbors who weren't educated, I would take the educated neighbors. I mean, that's just me. And if I had a choice between neighbors who, if I'm just walking the dog and I want to say hi to you and, you know, blah, 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 the weather and blah, 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 and you literally cannot talk to me because you don't speak English, and a neighbor that does speak English, I'm going to take the neighbor that speaks English. Does that mean that the people that are living there are bad people? No. But I'm not going to say that the changes that are happening don't make it a better neighborhood for the people who can afford to stay because they already are homeowners, because that's just not true. When you tie your community to where you live, it isolates you, because all the emotional support you need and everything else has to be in the neighborhood. LGBT people, regardless of education or money, they don't consider their quote-unquote, I mean, the Castro, all right, but they don't consider their community to be their neighborhood, because they may live in a place that's hostile. They consider their community to be the LGBT community. And they can go over to the center wherever they live. So to me, your community is not actually where your house is and the surrounding. Your community is the people you associate with. And that can be your ethnicity, that could be your politics, that could be your religion. And I feel sorry for people who are so isolated that where they live defines who their community is.
Last year, we interviewed Josh Butler, who had just lost a battle to put rent control on the ballot in the city. California voters were still considering a new law called Ballot Measure 10 that would have revised a set of restrictions on rent control known as Costa-Hawkins. Costa-Hawkins basically made it very hard to create new rent-controlled units in California, and Ballot Measure 10 would have lifted those restrictions.
To me, what Prop 10 would have done, would have repealed Costa-Hawkins and allowed municipalities who already had rent control in place to expand their rent control and make it work for them on a local level by removing some pieces that don't really let rent control work. And you look at a city like San Francisco, where rent control works, but it could work better if you were to remove Costa-Hawkins. And I think that's what this was about, was allowing rent control to work better in places where it already existed. And for those communities like Long Beach who are looking, certainly community groups like us are looking at adopting rent control, allow rent control to work better than it currently exists.
And what happened? What was the vote?
I didn't see a final vote, but I want to put it at like the 60-40 range. I believe it was overwhelmingly defeated. At a certain point, I stopped looking at the results and accepted a defeat. We knew that it was going to be an uphill fight all the way, that the opposition spent a tremendous amount of money. I think they outspent our side 3-1 to defeat Prop 10.
I couldn't fucking believe it, because the number of renters is so much greater in California than the number of homeowners. And I couldn't understand why people would vote against their own best interests. But I just think they were manipulated by the advertising of the developers.
We still have some work to do. That all good things are worth fighting for, and nothing comes easy. We know that those who put Costa-Hawkins in place worked on it for 10 years at the legislative level to enact it. And so we know that getting rid of it in our first attempt didn't work. But that doesn't mean we won't try and try and try again. We have to fix bad policy because it's hurting California.
This is where we in Portland and where Priced Out comes in.
Are you looking at something like Portland's relocation fee, which has created sort of de facto rent control and de facto just cause eviction? Because in Portland, if you raise the rent more than 10% or evict someone without cause, the landlords have to pay to relocate the tenant.
Yeah, I think that Housing Long Beach is there, and we've been there for a long time. We think that's great policy they have in Portland. We'd like to see that policy down here in Long Beach. I think there's a lot of similarities between Long Beach and Portland from seeing Priced Out and knowing what I know about the city. There's a lot of similarities, and it's so interesting to see us moving down these common policy paths. Also, around the same time, we're able to look at Portland and see a city that in many ways Long Beach residents hold in high regard. We love your trolley cars. But we also want to love your housing policies too. And so we want to have some of the same policies that you're putting forward are things that I am envious of and I'd like to see us have down here in Long Beach.
After I wrote a piece about your guys' ordinance and how Long Beach can learn from it, what was actually really cool about that was I got a lot of property owners messaging me being like, I can do this. I'm okay with that.
So Brian and Josh sponsored a screening of Priced Out in Long Beach, and they invited me to come down there and speak to activists. And I told them, you know, they should also invite Jamie Duhamel, who's the one who wrote Portland's relocation fee. And they did. We showed the film, and we talked with activists about how Jamie, Chloe Udaly, and other housing rights folks won the relocation fee battle here in Portland. And at that time, Long Beach had its own relocation fee law working its way through City Hall.
Yeah, I loved what Jamie had to say about shoot for the stars. Start way up here, and if you make that your demand, the moment you come down from that, the politicians just become so happy. They're like, okay, cool. You're meeting us in the middle when they don't even know they're kind of being a little bit shaken. But yeah, and I feel like that's what the Portland policy did. Like, it's not about like robbing anyone. Like, it's not, and it's not about making property owners look like they're the worst human beings in the world. It's just simply about creating a better community. And the response I got from Long Beach property owners made me extremely happy that they were like, this is something I would get behind.
Well, I think it's something's gonna get passed. What that is, I'm not so sure. I'm not optimistic that it's going to be in favor of tenants. I think our fear as an organization when it comes to the relocation assistance program that the city is going to try to put forward is that it's not going to be enough, and it's actually just going to fund displacement. It might incentivize landlords to just go ahead and pay the relocation fee to get folks out because it's the cheaper option. I think that if we find that the relocation fee is too low, is like we're still going to be going to court, because we find that going to court, we might get a better relocation offer. So I think that depending on the situations, we're scared that the relocation ordinance is not going to be strong enough, and it's actually just going to continue to fund displacement.
I actually like Mayor Garcia and the stuff he's trying to do, but I doubt that that's going to happen. What's going to happen is exactly what happened in Oakland. It's going to come to a head, and they're going to run some DSA candidate.
What does that mean, DSA candidate?
Democratic Socialists of America. They're going to run some DSA candidate who's going to get a seat on the board, and if that person is smart, which I'm sure they will be because they ran a campaign and won, they're going to ask for the moon, which they absolutely should do. I mean, some ridiculous fine for kicking out people who, and it's going to get pared back to something reasonable, and that's how that's going to work.
So you think nothing will change until there is a change in leadership?
Either that or until Housing Long Beach opens a weed dispensary and gets the money to run a citywide proposition where you put it on the ballot as a proposition. But either way, anyway, yeah, that's when change is going to happen.
Sure. LA County just enacted a rent freeze in unincorporated LA County areas. I think that our city council should follow their lead. I mean, if our city supervisors feel that's a need, why not follow their lead politically and jump on board?
Is there a housing crisis in Long Beach?
Absolutely, yeah. And the thing that I think, to judge my own profession, media needs to hone more in on is just the question of who are we building housing for? It took me a long time to get to that question. I was part of the new urbanist ideal beforehand that you just need to build more. Trickle-down housing is real. If we build more luxury apartments on the coast, the wealthy people are going to move there, and it's going to free up spaces in other places. Now, while that may be true, we haven't built enough housing to see if it actually works. The one thing I do know is that wealthy people will not hesitate in buying a building in your neighborhood. They just want to build. Build, 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 build. Which, yes.
Volume alone is not going to change the dynamic. Because
no.
The new housing will always go to the highest bidder, and it may be generations before housing in other parts of town becomes affordable.
When I opened, and it was like 2,400, I think, for a studio, somewhere around there. I was like, who the hell is going to be able to afford this? And then, oh, holy shit, lights are on. Plenty. And that's my worry. We're not asking who we're building housing for. We're just building it.
What do you think is going to happen here in the future in terms of how the city continues to change?
I'm curious myself. I don't even know. I really don't know.
You like it though? You're going to stay here? You're going to stay living in Long Beach?
Yeah, I'm going to try. My boyfriend lives in Oregon, and we actually have gone to a couple different cities to see if we could move there and thrive. So, you know, who knows?
So what's next for you guys?
We're not done yet. We think that we need to figure out a way to provide stability, not only for current Long Beach renters, but for future Long Beach renters.
As we were putting the episode together, something did happen. And we gave Josh Butler at Housing Long Beach a call last week.
Hey, Cornelius.
Hi, Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Cornelius. We had a big victory down here in Long Beach. We were able to pass our relocation ordinance. I don't think that night it sunk in at just how monumental this is. But I think there was a sense of elation and also relief that it wasn't undone. And a little bit of a surprise that everything stayed intact and what was passed was very strong, was quite good. I've decided to step down as the executive director of Housing Long Beach. That was a personal decision. And it was also one I felt was, in talking to the organization and all of us, feeling like this was a good time for the organization to move on to its next chapter. And I felt very happy myself in that we have established wonderful leadership there that has the ability to make the decisions and have the people who are most impacted by the crises be involved in leadership. And so,
wow,
it's been a very exciting time. I was director there from May 2015 to May 2019, and I couldn't be personally more pleased with what was accomplished in that time period. It was far more than I ever imagined, and that includes our leadership development within the organization. We have tenants who have been affected by the crisis who are now leaders in the organization.
Well, Josh Butler, thank you so much for your work. Good work and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Cynthia Marcias, if you remember from her podcast, The Tough Latina and the Racist Landlord, is now basically running Housing Long Beach. It's pretty amazing. We rarely get such happy conclusions on this podcast. But sometimes reality throws you for a loop. And democracy works when people know how to work it. So we wanted to say congratulations to Josh and all the advocates down there. Keep it up. And on that note, this is Goodnight from the Priced Out Podcast Season 2. Thank you for listening, following, and caring, and for taking action. And I want to thank especially our producer, Andrew Morgan, who has believed in this show and stuck with us for so long. It's been over a year, I think, that we've been working on this show. And it's been wonderful being able to share these stories with you, the listener. And I'd like to thank everyone who's shared their stories with us so that we could share them with you. We're going to take a rest for the summer to reevaluate the project. If you have thoughts and want to help fund future seasons, please let us know. But if you just want to see us, want to hear us continue, let us know. And you can reach us through Facebook or pricedoutmovie.com. You may hear from us again. And if you don't, God bless and keep up the good fight.